We're so blessed that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts, and we're back in the studio with three of the peeps from Grace. Why don't you introduce yourself and say hi?
I'm Taylor Thompson.
I'm Rebecca Reed.
And I'm Karen Orozco.
And Tara, myself, Sandy. And we're in James 1, and we're going to continue on with James, and we're going to do some verses on God's word that is implanted in us.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right, so we ended very quickly last time because we were about to start examining the importance of having God's word implanted in us and what Scripture has to say in other places. So we're going to, because that is what will produce righteousness in us. We were talking about the fact that with anger, it has to be righteous anger. God does not want us to have anger that's unrighteous. And the only way that that can happen, those traits to be born in us, is if we have the word. So we're going to go through. First, before we start on those verses, though, because we want to have the context of what we're looking at, Taylor's going to read James 1, 19 through 27.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you so much, and may God honor the reading of his word. Wonderful. Okay, so we were looking at, before we left, the righteous anger reacts to actual sin. Righteous anger focuses on God, his kingdom, his rights, his concerns. And righteous anger is always accompanied by godly character or godly qualities. Now we're going to look, because it says here, and we're going to go back in a second, but first I wanted us to start with, you know, humbly planting his word in us. And then he tells us to get rid of all our evil ways. I wanted to go with the word being implanted because I have found that the more I'm in the word, the easier it is for me to see that which is evil in me and to allow God to take it out of me. Okay, so each of us have a different verse that we're going to read. And then we're going to look at in what ways is God's word in us and what effect it has on us and how will that look in our lives. I'll re-ask those questions in a minute, but I don't even remember who I gave. Psalm 119.
That's me.
Okay.
I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Okay. And then we have Jeremiah 29.
But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his words burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it.
Okay. And then we have John 15:7.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
That's good. And then we want Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Good verse. Okay. And I had it, and then I moved away from it. Okay. And then mine is Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." All right. So when we were looking at Psalm 119, it says to us that God's word is to be hidden in us, and that is through the daily reading of the word that we make that happen. When we do that and we read his word, we read then in Jeremiah that it's like a fire that burns within us. And it makes me think of the two men that were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within," when he quoted scripture. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I was in my young 20s and I first started going to church for the first time, I had known the Lord for many years as my Savior, but had not been in a fellowship of saints on a weekly basis, sporadic but not faithful. And when I was serious about it, I just felt like every week I was home. I couldn't explain it. It was like everything inside me was happy to be where I was at, and it was because of God's word. And then we looked at the Colossians passage, and it says that he dwells within us. His word will dwell, and doesn't just dwell, but it imparts wisdom and songs and a grateful heart. And then we looked at with the Hebrews passage that it becomes our conscience, that it helps us thinking through what we're, you know, helping us to cut through circumstances and dividing. We didn't read, there's also a verse in James, and it will actually change our worldview. And it's amazing how it can affect us and change us when we're willing to allow that happen. So here are ways that God's word is at work. So let's answer these questions. In what ways is God's word in us? How does it make it as it's being active in our lives? Just think on the things in your life and what you've seen happen because you've taken God's word in. How has it changed you? How's it affected you? Think through something in your life that may have happened. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I was just thinking of the James passage that Taylor just read at the very end, and we're supposed to take care of orphans and widows. And being a widow myself, God has just brought widows into my life. Just recently, my best friend lost her husband on March 12th. So, you know, we're here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, God speaks to us about things we need to do.
That's good. This morning, every year with the leadership team, I've said this before, we ask them to give us a word. And then I pray that word for them for the year. And I had asked Dr. Holmes and his wife, Donna, to give me their words. He's my boss and his wife. And she had texted me this morning. It was crazy. We were both up at really, really early, early hours. It was like in the close 4 a.m. range. She's getting ready to go teach. And she sent me her word, which was trust. And I Googled and I found Habakkuk 2:3, and here I should just look it up and just read it to you because it's so beautiful. But so I'm like, okay, that's what I'm gonna be praying for her. But the more I started praying it and I was journaling about it and praying for her, God began to move in my heart to help me realize that it applied to so many things. So the next thing I know, I was praying it for this person. The next thing I know, I was praying for this situation. The next thing I was praying it for this person. And ended up posting it on the current RA team's page. But Habakkuk 2:3 says, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. That's kind of a shorter version, but I want you to hear it in the fuller. Let's see. It's really close back here. I'm going to find this quickly. I know I am. I want you guys to hear this verse. And so I was praying this verse this morning. So scripture, if it's hidden in us, it will have an impact, and we'll be able to see it immediately have a work in us and in those around us. And so I started praying it for her, but then God started working it to where I was praying it for others, and it's just pretty. So Habakkuk 2, verse 3 says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And what Habakkuk is referring to here is that it's a tough time for the people, and they're just not seeing God's movement as fast as they wanted it to happen. And he's like, wait, come on, wait on the Lord, trust him. He will bring it to pass. So when we have the word of God, we then begin to apply it into our lives, and it'll come out and it'll begin to grow. Remember, it's that seed. So the seed came in. I looked it up because she gave a word, found the verse that I was going to use for her, and then, boom, next thing I know, I've prayed it for I don't know how many different people by name today alone because I allowed the word to be active in me as it grew. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I've given you my story. You guys think of a time God's used scripture to change you to where you could affect somebody. I know you have them. Don't be afraid. Not good to have silence on the radio. They're all so quiet.
I did mine.
Yeah.
I can't think of a exact verse, but like there's a person that I just could not figure out how to get along with her. We tried everything, and I don't know what it was, but like something changed in me, and my heart towards her changed, and my love for her. I now love her in a different way because I've grown in God's word. Like I've spent more time in it, which makes my heart change towards the people around me, people who I disagree even with.
And that's so true, because we think we're going to change them, but we don't change them. God changes us.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's a perfect example.
I'm going to go back and let you see. Righteous anger is accompanied by other godly qualities and love. Expresses itself in godly ways. And love, the character trait of God, is love. Mm-hmm. And without love, we're just a clanging cymbal. And so even though you weren't able to take a specific verse, it was a quality of God, a character trait of God that was being made known because you were implanting the word in you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's awesome. That's a good example. Oh, very good. Did you guys come up with one? No?
No, I didn't, but actually, I would just agree with Taylor.
Yeah. How about you, Rebecca?
Yeah. I guess last year, I think really, God really taught me how to love people, and the verse that really stuck with me was from 1 Corinthians 13. Just like saying, love is patient, love is kind. And so when I'd approach a person that it was hard to love, that verse would come to mind. It's like being patient with that person and kind and loving them.
Yeah. That's good.
The love chapter. In fact, my grandson called me the other day and asked me if I'd read scripture at his wedding.
Aww.
And that's the scripture I'm going to read.
That's
1
wonderful.
Corinthians 13. Yeah.
So this is Taylor's wedding.
Tyler's
yeah,
in May.
In May. Tyler in May.
I'm so excited.
That's wonderful.
I'm excited he asked me.
That's so good. All right. Do you see? And hers is also giving back the qualities. It focuses on God and God's concerns, and then it was bringing up God's qualities. So I wanted you to see that any time that we're allowing ourselves to pull that up, that keeps us from having the anger, and it helps us to be slow.
Even like I think Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I have a tendency sometimes to rush ahead of him, you know, and I'm not very patient sometimes. So the patience thing.
Right?
Something I need.
Yeah, that's a good, and it's a good verse. You should go and read that verse. Like that verse this morning, just like about from 4 a.m. till about 6 a.m., I just pretty much was basking in just the goodness of that verse in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
It's a good one. Okay, so we see all of these amazing things we have. Now, he tells us just before, he says, to humbly accept the word of God, all right, and planting it in your heart. So we talked about the seed, putting it in. But just before it, he says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. I'd like for one of you to turn to Galatians 5:19. It's got a long list of words we're not going to like. Yeah. Long list. You got it, Rebecca?
Yes.
She's going to pull it up, Galatians 5:19. And I was reading through this, and I thought, all the filth and evil in your lives, and I immediately thought of right before the fruit of the Spirit, he lists out a whole bunch of things that are not fruit of the Spirit. And so what I did actually in my column, you guys, I'd say it's a good 2 inches, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I made a list of all the words that he actually lists out in this little thing, and it's pretty tiny print. And so she's going to read them to us. And it's not exhaustive, okay? I want you to keep that in mind. It's not exhaustive. All right, go ahead.
Galatians 5:19.
Okay.
Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Wow. Okay. I'm like, oh my goodness. And when I was reading this and preparing this, when Greg and I taught it in Sunday school, I was blown away because I started thinking, okay, these are the things of the sinful nature. But he puts in there, and these are things that we'd probably put him in Christian category of respectable sin, which is not true. There's no such thing as a respectable sin. But we will excuse a person's quarreling, having jealousy, or an outburst of anger, or a selfish ambition, or providing division, or dissension, or envy. Those are a good inch and a half of the words. The other words that he uses are sexual immorality, impurity, drunkenness, wild parties, which would be orgies.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I am doing something that causes dissension or causes a breakdown in relationships because of envy or jealousy or strife, I'm no different than a person who's a drunk and out there an adulterer and having orgies.
It's like
right here, according to this passage, it was like, wow, if we held ourselves to such accountability with our mouths as we do with people with those categories.
You know, God says sin is sin, and we're living under grace, so we need to give other people grace also.
And it makes you stop to think, okay, all right, I gotta guard this in me. And so Monday night when I was talking to my class, we were going through the Matthew 18 passage that is the how to do a reconciliation when you've had conflict with somebody. And I said, if we just stopped right immediately just with the mouth, we could solve a whole host of most of our issues in society.
And you know, and I also think of the passage where it says, maybe it's in my, I think it's in Matthew, judge and you shall be judged. But one of them says, judge and you should be judged like more, you know.
If yeah,
you're
judging well, if
like
you were
one finger, James, Adam, five back at you or whatever.
Right, well, yeah. James, we're held at a higher accountability for being the teacher.
Right.
And so it's just crazy. Well, then Sunday, and this is the funny part, you guys, not funny, ha-ha, but funny. Last time I had shared that Greg and I had a doozy of a fight on Sunday. Well, just before, I don't know, 15 minutes, we were just like Peter. You know how Peter was like, Lord, you are the Son of God. And then just like, I don't know, 10 verses later, Jesus says to Peter, and he goes, Satan, get behind me.
We just did that verse yesterday. Study.
This is me and Greg. So we're got home from church, and he's like, I got to show you this most amazing video. And I'm like, what? And he said, watch. And it's from the King of Random on the crystals and how our spoken words can actually have such a powerful impact that when they're freezing water, it will actually freeze beautiful crystals when it's righteous words. Mm-hmm. But if it's ugly and ungodly words, all the things that are in this list from Galatians 5:19, the crystals are actually clumps and ugly. Actually, our words affect water. Mm-hmm. And the King of Random, what he did is he did a test with rice, and he put three jars with rice, one with I love you, one with I hate you, and one with nothing in a closet. And he and his wife were going to go and talk to them and tell love to the love jar, hate to the hate jar, and nothing to the other jar. They totally forgot about the experiment. 6 months later, they found them. The hate jar was brown. The love jar was white. And the jar they ignored was in between the brown and the white. And all they had done was label them. And that is to show you the power of words.
Right.
It affects God's kingdom. You need to come back next week to hear the rest.